ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 12 of From the Hive, the latest podcast/radio show series here on KALA. I'm Ryan Schistel, as always, joined by Anna Berry, Sierra Mari, and Luke Vera. Luke's back after his absence last week due to a surprise football meeting. But we are also back in the Buzz office, our normal recording spot. How's everybody doing, though, so far today?
I'm doing okay, Ryan. I just got done with a test in global communication. And, you know, tomorrow I have another test in another communication class. So I'm doing pretty good, you know, knocking out the tests, getting, you know, prepared to be done with this semester. So just, you know, every day that goes by is another day towards graduation.
Luke, how about you?
Doing pretty good. You know, as you said, football has started up in the spring, so meetings and practices and lifts still. So it's gotten a little bit busier for me, but at the very least, classes aren't quite as, I don't know, challenging, difficult, not a whole lot of work. So that's good, at least.
And Anna, how about you?
I'm doing pretty good. This morning, my study group and I went out for breakfast at the QC Coffee and Pancake House.
Oh, that place is good.
Which was the first time I've been there, which was a really fun experience. It was really good food. And yeah, I'm just busy studying. I got a lot of stuff to do, a lot of assignments to complete, a lot of studying to do for exams, and then start prepping for finals because those are coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I've been okay. My dad came into town over the weekend, so did my roommate's parents, so we all went out with each other. We ended up, actually, my dad and I ended up going out to breakfast on Sunday morning. We were going to go to the Pancake House, but we figured it would be packed like it normally is, so we went to this place called Melly's, which is right by Vibrant, and it's really good. Like, it's just a little kind of shop, almost in a, just on the bottom floor of a building alongside a bunch of different shops. There's a Chicago-style pizza place across the street that I want to try now. So, yeah, I mean, kind of like you, Luke, though, classes haven't been awful. I feel like I've just got a lot of big projects that are like, I know they're going to come up on me fast, and I haven't really started any of them. So probably this weekend that'll be the big plan. But this weekend will also be, well, I'll be out of town, so will Sierra. On Saturday, we got to go to Des Moines for the IBNA awards ceremony, which, woohoo, leaving Brighton early in the morning on Saturday.
You don't sound too excited.
It could be worse. I mean, we're leaving at like 7:30. Well, because Dave and I were talking about it, when we were freshmen and we went to IBNA, we left at like 4:45 in the morning.
I remember that.
Because it was in like Cedar Rapids, and check-in was at like 8 or something like that. Maybe it wasn't Cedar Rapids. Is there like a Cedar Falls or something like that?
Yeah, I was going to say Cedar Rapids is only an hour
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I was going to say actually, it was definitely Cedar Falls then. But yeah, I mean, you know, the good news is Dave is going to drive us, so I don't have to waste my own gas money, even though I probably need to get gas anyways because my gas light's been on for the past couple days, so. You know, it is what it is, but I'm excited for IBNA.
I'm excited, too. I mean, we went freshman year. That was a blast. We went with Brooke Haas and then, you know, David Meyer, and it was fun. I gave a little speech, and it was really nice, you know. And then this year, we're, you know, hopefully going to get a lot of, you know, awards we'll be picking up, you know, after being nominated several times. So that's exciting, you know, and just promoting the station, which is always fun.
Yeah, I mean, outside of myself and Sierra, the Tappa brothers are going. Maybe only, actually, I think it's only Michael mm-hmm. that's going. AJ won't. And then Evie Breitbach, who does her midweek musings, she'll be going. So, good group. I think Greg Armstrong from SCUTV is also going to join us, which, you know, that's, it's always a good time. New York was really fun with Greg. Like, he really hung out with us and, like, spent time with us, and I don't know. It's always fun kind of seeing your teachers in a different light, like, outside of the classroom. And, yeah, I mean, Greg is a big Chicago sports fan, but he's a White Sox fan and I'm a Cubs fan, so We have a good friendly banter about how bad the White Sox are and about how good the Cubs are every so often. I'm sure I'll give him an earful about it Saturday. The weather this past week, interesting, but kind of diving into not too friendly of weather. I mean, this past weekend, though, like 80s, sunny 24/7, even yesterday and kind of today, nice out, but later this afternoon and into the next couple days of the week, some pretty bad thunderstorms expected. I think Nurse Nancy said, like, golf ball-sized hail, 70-mile-per-hour winds, stuff like that today.
Mother Nature's pulling us, you know, for a loop. And then I love how Nurse Nancy always keeps us updated and, you know, aware of what's going to happen, you know, because you really don't know what to expect from this Midwest weather. You really don't. It was 80. People were tanning yesterday. Now people are hibernating today. It's just on and off right now. You don't know what to expect when you walk outdoors.
Who do you know that's hibernating right now?
Maybe I just want to. But, you know, some people, like, aren't showing up to class as they normally do.
Because it's windy?
Yeah.
Soft.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, for you, Luke, and probably you too, Anna, like, practices could get canceled.
Yeah, there was some talk about, well, since we're recording this on Tuesday, so our Tuesday practice is up in the air as of right now, because it's just windy at the moment, but it is supposed to thunderstorm and hail later. So, I don't know. We'll see. We might have practice in the dome this week if we can get it. You know, with baseball and softball, it's always a little bit difficult, you know, trying to decide who gets the dome.
Yeah, and I mean, with baseball and softball being in season.
Yeah, they always do get priority since
they're in season. You would assume they're prioritized, I should say. But, I mean, I've even heard a possible tornado watch or tornado warning around here. I don't know about you guys being from Chicago. I kind of want to see one. As weird as that is, because everybody's like, oh, why would you want to see a tornado? But I'm in the city. Like, nothing happens. We get bad storms, but very rarely, probably once every, like, 5 years, do the tornado sirens actually go off.
Yeah, I was kind of, with the linebackers, I was kind of joking on Thursday, like, you know what we really need? A good tornado. And, of course, a few days later is a tornado.
We can blame this weather on you, Luke. Huh?
Yeah, I guess I can take the blame.
I don't know if blame is the right word. I'm excited for it. I like a good storm.
I do, too. It has been a while since I've seen a good
storm. I do when I'm sleeping at night. Not when I'm trying to be productive throughout the day. You know what I mean? Like, it gets in my way. If I'm going to class and there's a tornado going on, like, how can I get to class now?
Well, that's when classes get canceled. Like, I know my teacher in the mid-afternoon, he's already pretty much said that class will probably be canceled today just for, you know, our safety and really his, because his office, like, isn't in the building we'll be having class in, but, yeah, I mean.
Today, you said it's canceled?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, it's, like, right when the storms are supposed to really hit. So,
everyone be safe in the crazy weather that the Midwest brings us.
Mm-hmm. See, remember all the tornadoes, like, last year that were really close to campus but never, like, came our way, and how everybody was freaking out?
So, it's funny you say that, because I was just talking to my study group about this. I have, like, this vivid memory of one of the storms we had this year, or last year about this time, and I remember I was in my friend's dorm room. But I was like, I should probably go back to mine in the case that this storm, like, lasts through the night and I'm, like, it's going to be time to sleep. I remember, like, as I went outside, in a matter of, like, a second, it went from, like, blue sky to green. The wind was crazy. It was just torrential downpour. And I was, like, running back to my dorm because I was, of course, getting soaked by the rain. But it was so, like, the wind was so tough that I could not open the door to the dorm. So these guys that were, like, storm watching in the little entrance room had to, like, together push the door open to get me in. But I just remember that so vividly. Like, there was hail, the sirens were going off, the wind was crazy. Like, they told us to shut our windows. So it's funny you brought that up.
See, last year, because I lived in Franklin on third floor, but my window faced, like, out into the alley, in like the building that like maintenance uses now, that's what I looked at. So I knew I wasn't gonna have a good view, but my friends lived on fourth floor, like facing out onto campus. So I went up to their rooms to watch. And after like 20, 30 minutes, when it was like peak, just like bad storm, stuff like that, and like the tornadoes were really getting close, they were kind of like, all right, like, should we go downstairs like they told us to, blah, blah, blah. And they're from like small town Illinois or like out here, but like countryside, Iowa. And I was like, you guys can go down there. You guys have probably experienced something like this before. I don't get to. I want to watch. They're like, well, what if a tornado actually comes? I was like, well, then I might fall down four floors. But it was like, I kind of want to sit here and I want to observe what's going on. And I just pretty much pressed my face up against the window the whole day and watched.
Do you guys want to know what I was doing?
Working. Sleeping.
No, I know you can't guess it. I know you can't.
What?
I'm just a little scared to know.
Yeah.
Me and my roommate decided it would be the perfect time to hit the
to what?
To hit the road and head to Iowa City when it was red on the map. It was, we were literally driving through the storm, the hail, the tornado. We had to pull over on the road, the highway. And I remember, like, this is a distinct memory in my head, okay, because we almost died, was when it was hailing, right? And so everybody I saw on the road was pulling over to the side of the road. So I was like, okay, maybe I should do that. You know what I mean? So I pulled over to the side of the road. And when I decided, you know, my impatience kicked in. And I was like, shoot, man, hail's never going to stop. Let's just keep driving. You know what I mean? Why are we standing here and taking this hail when we could just be driving and moving forward? So when I decided in that moment to do that and pull out, a semi-truck was coming our way, and we were inches away from the semi-truck, and we fortunately pulled out, and I zoomed straight ahead, and the semi-truck never saw him again. But yeah, we were so close to hitting that semi-truck, because that semi-truck was, I feel like, heading full force, for real.
Lesson of the day, never let Sierra drive with us in the car.
Or don't drive in hail.
I mean, that's also.
Well, why would you pull over at the side of the road and take the hail when you could just be driving forward and getting?
When you're driving, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
The hail, it hits your car harder.
Easier to shatter the windows. Also harder or easier to just pull over and wait till you can see when you're driving instead of driving through a big storm. People are going to be listening to this, and they're going to know that you were in the wrong for trying to keep driving in it.
Comment below, guys. Okay. If you would drive in hail or if you would pull over and just take
dear
it.
Dear Lord.
So why were you going to Iowa City? Just for fun?
To meet up with friends.
And you knew the storms were coming and you still.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And my roommate, who stayed back in the dorms in Franklin, she was just freaking out because she was like, there's a tornado, this and that. So, you know, we had to be on FaceTime with her and calm her down when we were driving in the red zone. For real, it was like deep red we were driving in.
No, but, I mean, outside of the weather, stuff like that, well, actually, the weather could affect us because we've got a few things planned out for this week. Technically, it was supposed to be today, but it got pushed back to Thursday. We've got two softball games that we're broadcasting now. Again, by the time this comes out, those games will be over. So hopefully they won. Hopefully they play. Because a rumor is now they're going to push it back even further from Thursday. And because of different stuff going on at KALA, I don't think Dave Baker, I think he said that like Friday might be a no-go for being able to broadcast stuff because of different things going on. And stuff like that. But Friday, we also have Earth Day. It's supposed to be on the roof, or not the roof, on the patio of the Rogalski Center. But if not, I think it's getting moved to the ballroom. KALA technically isn't a part of it this year, but Dance Marathon's got their big reveal this Saturday. So, yeah.
But also, hopefully, the storm doesn't interfere with, you know, students drive or walk to Iron and Grain on Thursday for that energy drink by Gildas Club. So, you know, when this podcast is released on, you know, Friday and listeners hear it, you know, over the weekend or on Monday next week, hopefully y'all checked out that limited edition energy drink promoted by Gildas Club at Iron and Grain.
I guess there is one thing that will be correctly timed once this podcast is released. Tuesday, April 23rd is the Day of Giving, which is an event that happens here on campus every year.
Yep.
So different clubs and organizations are asking for donations and for people to be generous and show generosity to current Ambrose students. So KALA specifically is asking for donations and contributions to help students find their voice through informative news programs, exciting sports broadcasts, and engaging podcasts. So we do have a link in our bio on our Instagram, and it should be also on our Facebook, which the handle for that is KALA.FM. So if you're interested in being generous, supporting KALA and all the podcast programs and sporting broadcasts, we'd really appreciate your generosity, as that'll help us do new and exciting things in the future.
So outside of that, I know it's kind of a couple weeks old now, but cheer and dance both won back-to-back national championships. Our good friend and classmate Cindy Horseman is a part of the cheer team, so she's a back-to-back national champion, so congrats to her and her teammates. But, I mean, Luke, this is a word that I feel like gets thrown around way too loosely now. But figure four trophies in 2 years. Is it a dynasty?
I mean, yeah, I could see that. And also, Sydney was posting this on her story over the weekend, but she was in – cheer and dance were in Florida.
Yeah, Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando for the College Classic. Bees won that too. So they brought home, they brought home like four trophies this year.
Yeah, because I think dance won like overall, but then they won like hip hop and something else, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, the College Classic also, like that had Division I schools at it. Like yep. I know Sydney's sister is at Western Michigan and like Western was there. What other, I thought I saw like Louisville was there.
Texas A&M.
Yeah, Texas A&M. I think Ambrose was, like, the one NAIA school present. I think it's, like, all D1 and D2 schools, and then us. So.
Is it because we won the national championship?
I think it was more so, because it was already on the schedule, so I think it was more so just, you know, nobody was kind of willing to put Ambrose in their regional for, like, you know, the opening rounds of the national championships and stuff like that, because I think they all just kind of knew Ambrose was gonna win. Like, they've been the number one team all year, so I think that was a big thing where it was just, all right, well, nobody wanted us in the regionals, so we haven't competed as much as everybody else, let's just do this D1 thing. And well, they won,
and you walk out of there with ring on your finger and a couple more trophies to add to the case in the WRC. So that's,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Are they now, I mean, are they the winningest program, you think, at Ambrose? I mean, figure dance has won it now for the national championship four times in their 8 years.
Yeah, cheer as well. But I think it's between them and esports. Because I think esports has a number of trophies that they win.
Yeah, I guess my only thing with esports is, what, haven't they only been around for like 3 or 4 years, something like that? Like, I feel like they're a very fresh team. So it's just like, you know, their percentages are almost skewed compared to other sports, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I honestly don't know when esports started here, so I can't say that.
I
do know they've put a couple of trophies in the
case
that they've had to actually take out for cheer and dance. Sydney was talking about that the other day in class.
Yeah, I think, like, realistically, a lot of sports are going to have to start getting, like, older trophies cleared out for new trophies coming in.
Which, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess,
to be a collegiate athlete, only a few people are able to do that, and then to go off and win, like, that's a great accomplishment, and congratulations to all those athletes.
Yeah, I guess it's never a bad thing when you run out of room in a trophy case.
Good problem to have.
Yeah.
Very good problem.
it's only a bad problem if you build those trophy cases and they stay barren. So it's really not the case for us. So, but outside of that, kind of staying in the Iowa area, Caitlin Clark drafted number one by the Indiana Fever. Kate Martin got drafted. Kate Martin getting drafted, I think, was so much better because she wasn't even officially invited to the draft. And that's why she was just sitting in the crowd with her teammates. Like, she was really only there to support Caitlin. And then when she got drafted, like, she had to walk through the crowd, past the other draftees, just to get up on stage, which I find that funnier.
I find that just awesome. Like, to show up knowing that, like, I know in an interview she wanted the opportunity and then she got it. And, like, for her to get it while in attendance, I think that is just, it's a cool experience and a cool moment that she was with her teammates. You know, like, she wasn't able to have her family by her when she got drafted, but I think to have her teammates and you could see in their face that they were really cheerful and joyful for her and really proud of her, I think that's just awesome.
And, I mean, also just the coaches in attendance. I mean, Lisa Bluter was sitting directly in front of Kim Mulkey, which I was like, oh, that had to have been done on purpose. Like, somebody had to have sat those two next or in front of each other because, you know, Caitlin gets drafted, walks up, Lisa walks up, just kind of give her a hug, stuff like that. When Angel Reese got drafted to the Chicago Sky, which, like, that's been the big talk in my friend group chat, just, oh, we're winning the WNBA now, which I don't think any of us have ever gone to a Sky game, like my friends and I, but you could kind of see, like, I think, I'm 99% sure it was her, because she was wearing, like, that bright-colored shirt Kim Mulkey was. She, like, jumped up out of her seat to start cheering, and I was just like, and you wonder why people, like, tend to not like you because of how, is flamboyant the right word to use? Just, like,
that's a good word to use, yeah.
Yeah, just, like, how flamboyant you are, and on the day about the players, you're still doing it, but
at least you can say she's supportive of her players.
Oh, I don't think you can use any other word. I mean, it's probably the biggest thing she cares about in life, realistically, winning in her players. So,
yeah, and speaking of Caitlin Clark getting drafted, do you see the stats on her jersey? Like,
haven't they skyrocketed?
They sold out.
Yeah.
Already?
They're, like, sold out of all the sizes.
Yeah, jeez. Every size in 1 hour, which is insane.
I also thought it was neat that her new teammates were so excited when the name got called. And
oh, they all threw her jersey on.
Jersey's ready and come on. I thought that was really interesting and really cute.
It's nuts, though, that, like, her new teammates and, like, the Fever pretty much sold out their stadium just for a watch party for her to get drafted. But
yeah, she's a very humble player from what it seems and appears like through the media, you know, for her to, like, she doesn't care about being the most famous or whatever, but just that she carries herself in a way that she wants to make a positive impact on women's sports. I think that's an amazing thing. I mean, for what she did for the college program for all collegiate athletes, especially women athletes. And then, I mean, I'm just excited to see what she can do with the WNBA and see if that will just skyrocket from here too, that league.
Well, what did I see? The Fever have gone from, like, 2 nationally televised games, and this was, like, pre-draft, to about 37.
Wow.
Just, like, that Caitlin Clark effect, which is nuts. Now, of course, there are going to be people trying to knock her down.
There already have been.
Oh, yeah.
She was on SNL on Saturday before the draft, and people were like, oh, she lost. Why is she there? And it's because of her impact. And it's people, like, losing sight of that. Like, she did more, even without winning a national championship, without a ring, than literally almost any college player has done in a very long time.
I mean,
that's low-key more impressive, for real.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I've seen some funny stuff. Like, you know the shirts with her shooting and says this was never a long shot? I've seen some that said this was too long of a shot, and it's her shooting and the other side of the shirt has a national championship trophy. Like, that's kind of mean, but, like, kind of funny. Because it's, like, playful humor. They took an exact shirt and just copied it to something else.
But her name's still written all over it.
So, oh, no, like, exactly. Like, she's still going to be known for it.
For her, against her, you know, like, her name's still getting thrown
around. Oh, yeah.
Or, like, Nike, you know, just do it, not just throw it.
What are you talking about?
Never heard that
before.
Yeah,
that's, I don't know what Sierra is talking about. Anyways.
Sierra tries to talk sports with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Not to make too much fun of her.
Well, you know, sometimes. Sometimes people just do it to themselves. But like MLB season, Luke, we can talk about it, I guess. A lot of pitchers have gotten hurt this year.
Yeah.
A lot of UCL injuries. And a lot of people say it's a pitch clock.
It's part of it.
I think it's got to be part of it. Some people say there's no way that's got anything to do with it. I think it's got to have something.
It's not a huge part, but it's a part. And it's a part of an impact that I think just compounds the injuries. I saw an interview with Tyler Glasnow from the Rays. He's not on the Dodgers. But it was when the MLB banned like substances, like sticky substances to use for the baseball, it made his arm sore in places he didn't know he had muscles. And that's even after pitching for, what, 15, 20 years of his life? He'd never been sore there before, which is insane. Like, the MLB baseball, I don't know if any of you have, like, looked into it or even held an MLB baseball before, but it's really slick.
They are slick.
Like, it's not easy to hold and not easy to throw. So I think that's a big part of it. I think it's MLB pitchers trying to do too much, trying to throw harder than their body can handle, trying to move the ball more than their body can do just to try to throw harder and move the ball faster, which the MLB is the direction that it's trending. So I think when you compound all of that, it's just like a perfect storm of UCL injuries, and it's going to have to change.
Have you ever seen the process of, like, or like the video showing the process of how they get balls ready for game use?
I have not.
So they, like, they take the ball out of the box, and then the video I saw, they, like, dunk it in a bucket of, like, mud, and then, like, they'll wipe it off. I think to get, like, just to almost break the ball in just a little bit. And I think it's supposed to help with the grip, because I think right when you take the ball out of the box, I mean, have you ever umpired a baseball game before?
No, but I have unwrapped a fresh baseball.
Yeah, and, like, you can, like, feel
yeah.
how slick they are. I even remember when I was a Little League ump, if a coach would give me a ball, like, out fresh out of the wrapper, both teams' coaches would kind of ask me, like, hey, can you just, like, toss it in the dirt and just, like, try to get some sort of, you know, substance on there, like the dirt, which is completely legal, just to kind of get a better grip for our players on the ball. And I always did it because I knew, you know, the first time I ever did it and I didn't give it any, like, dirt or anything, I went to throw it and it almost slipped right out of my hand because, like you said, baseballs are very slick, so...
Yeah, and I think the MLB needs to change this because some of their highest paid players and some of their biggest talent, like Shohei Ohtani, you know, he's gotten a second Tommy John. Spencer Strider just recently has gotten a UCL injury.
Yeah.
So Tommy John surgery there. Like, when these big names go out like this, it can only hurt. So the MLB has to look into it.
I think, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, I think for pitching, they have to allow some substances.
Well, like they always have. Like, sunscreen and rosin is one of the classic go-to combos.
Like, and I'm not saying spider tack or anything like that, but, like, you know, to look at some of the banned substances, and I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but, you know, if you see, like, all right, this thing is barely changing anything about a baseball being thrown, if a lot of guys are going to want to use it, I don't know. That's just me.
Well, the thing is, it really does help a lot.
Oh, it does.
It doesn't help you throw harder. It makes the ball spin more.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, like, talk about the seam-shifted wake movement and how it, you know, impacts the physics of throwing a baseball or anything like that. But it definitely helps, and it's a big advantage for a pitcher in the end. And I think if the MLB wants to, like, combat this and keep, you know, the sticky substances out of the game, mess with the seams on the baseball. Make it easier to grip.
I've seen a few people talking about this.
Yeah, and you know what? The pitch clock, even, too, it just, you know, taking some tension off the arm,
or
make
even,
it longer.
Yeah.
You can still have a pitch clock, just make it longer.
Add 5 to 10 seconds, even.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, NFL has a 40-second game clock. NBA has 24. And I think right now the MLB is at, like, 18 or, like, 17.
Isn't it, like, 18 with runners on, 15 with nobody on, something like that?
It needs to be at least 30 seconds, in my opinion. Like, you have time to take a breath,
but,
you know, still keep the game moving.
I think 25 seconds with nobody on, 30 seconds with people on would be perfect.
Yeah. Like pitch clock is a good, it's good for the game. It's a good product.
Yeah, it'll speed it along for you.
But it needs to be longer.
For so,
injuries and anything else.
With that, I think we're going to conclude this week's episode of From the Hive. A very special thank you to Dave Baker, our general manager, for keep letting us do this, sometimes whatever it even is that we're talking about. And thank you to the listeners for Anna Vary, Sierra Mari, and Luke Vera. I'm Ryan Schistel, and we will be back next week.